QST, QST, QST. The Queen Creek Emergency Communications Group Weekly Net will begin at 2000 hours. Tonight will be the second episode or installment of When the Lights Go Out. So hope to see you all on the net. This is KA7PPW. For spending your evening with us. And we would like to go ahead with the continuation of When the Lights Go Out. Dennis, please come on ahead and take the net. This is KI7PPW.
Okay, thank you, John. Confirming that I am assuming net control for the time being, and whenever I'm done, I will turn it back over to you. Okay, so thank you. All right, to pick up from where we left off last, we can give just a brief recap and maybe a little intro to those that are joining us for the first time this evening. Last week we started out with a scenario of you're sitting at home and the lights go out. And so the question is, as a ham radio operator, what do you do? So I'm not asking you as a preparedness individual or anything like that. I'm just asking, as a ham radio operator, what steps do you take? What are the things that you are going to do from that point forward when the lights go out? You are sitting there, the power is off, and your internet is down because you don't have power to run your router. And you also discover that you may not have cell phone coverage as well. So that was the scenario that we had, and we went through a series of things that you would do, most of them to try to determine the extent of the situation you are in. You know, we had things about, you know, going outside, looking at up and down the street, asking your neighbors if their power was on or off, getting in the vehicle, driving around, getting on broadcast radio, FM and AM, and we discussed the stations that you would go to there. We also talked about getting on some of the repeaters that would have emergency information that are designated for that specific purpose for the county, the government. So we discussed some of that as well. We also talked about other services that are available through the government that would be on and transmitting that you could get information on. So we went through a lot of that and trying to determine the extent of the outage and how much does it cover. So we're going to pick up at that point, and we're going to assume that you are discovering that it's covering quite a bit of an area. So maybe, you know, your entire town, it could be the entire Phoenix metro area. So, but you've discovered now that it's a widespread outage and you're still gathering information. Okay, so we're going to pick it up from that point and go forward. Now, at the beginning of this, John said, you know, it'd be nice to have a pencil and paper available, and that is correct because I'm going to give you some information, and depending upon how far we get in our discussion this evening, I may be calling on one or more of you to give me this information. So, if you're ready to copy, I'm going to give you 7 pieces of information that I may call and require of you at a later time in the net. Probably be much later, but we may or may not get to it, so we'll just see. But I want you to have this information anyway. Okay, so these are the 7 pieces of information that I will ask you to report to me. First, your first name. Number 2, the cross streets where you are. Number 3, the city you are located in. Number 4, the radio type you are using. And what I mean by that, are you on a handheld radio? Are you on a mobile radio? Are you on a portable station? Or are you using a fixed station? So that's all I would need you to give me is whether you're on an HT, a mobile, portable, or fixed station. And you could have a mobile radio that is set up as a fixed station or a portable station. So that doesn't matter. Just whatever it is. If you're in the vehicle driving down the road, it would be mobile. If you're using a mobile radio at a remote location, that's portable. And if you've got it set up as a fixed base station at your home, then that's going to be a fixed station. All right, so that's number four. Number five, the transmit power you are currently using. So the transmit power is what I would need. Number six, the number of years you have been licensed as a ham radio operator. And number seven is your FCC call sign. So first, your first name. Two, your cross streets. Number three, the city you're in. Number four, the type of radio station you're using. Number five, your transmit power. Number six, the number of years you have been licensed. And number seven, your call sign. Okay. All right. Hopefully everybody got that information, and we'll have that jotted down and be ready to go if and when we get to it this evening. All right. Okay, so what I would like to do now is that you have determined that this is somewhat widespread in an outage. Like I said, it could be, you know, just the entire town of Mesa or Queen Creek or Gilbert or whatever, but you've determined that it's covering quite a bit of a large area. And so you've gathered this information. Now, what would be one of the next things that you should probably do, anticipating that this could be a long-duration type event? And I don't mean months or years or anything, but I mean it could be several days or more on that. So what would be one of the next things that you would probably do as a ham radio operator? Like I said, this is going to be discussion and not lecture. So I would like you to give me a call with your FCC call sign, with your thoughts and ideas on where you think you should go with this. And if I agree with you, good. If I don't, then I'm going to direct you where I want to go this evening. So if you got some thoughts on it, please call. Okay, hearing nothing, let me throw out a suggestion then. Maybe a self-inventory or evaluation of your equipment. So what are some of the things that you should be looking at on your equipment and why? So if you've got some thoughts and ideas on this, please give me a call.
KI7 PPW.
Okay, John, thank you. I was beginning to wonder if my radio was actually working or if we had a repeater failure or something here. So, yes, John, go ahead with your thoughts and ideas.
Well, this kind of plays directly into item number four of your list. You want to find out, are you operating, do you only have an HT available to you, or do you have a mobile station that you can set up portable or mobile, and then you need to look, of course, at the power, the three basic things that run a radio station. You need to know what kind of power you have, you need to know what kind of transceiver you've got, and you need to have a reasonable antenna system so that you can get out and communicate. KI7 PPW.
Hey, John, you're exactly correct. You need to take a look at your stuff and see what you have and what your capabilities are. So if you have a radio and you only have an HT, what things would you want to determine? Let's just say if you're there. If a person only has a handheld radio, it doesn't matter what kind or type or anything, just a handheld radio, and that's the one that they use, what are some of the things that you would want to inventory and check at this point in time? So if anybody else has some thoughts on that, give me a call.
KK7GSS.
K7GSS, Dave, I think it is.
Yes, Dave. I would start looking at how many batteries I have for my HT and try to calculate maybe what kind of, well, if they're charged or not. If I remember if they're charged, that'd be great. But That's one of the considerations I would look at.
Hey, Dave, you're exactly correct. So you'd want to check to see how many batteries you've got. Hopefully, most of us would know, one, that we do have batteries, and number two, it would be one of those situations, I guess, if they're not already charged up, it doesn't matter at that point in time, unless you've got some other way of doing it. Okay, so Dave, I'll let you close out with your call sign, unless you have an additional comment.
No additional comments, KK7GSS.
Okay, Dave, I agree with you 100% on that. All right, so what are some of the other things that you as an individual ham radio operator would want to inventory and double check before this thing gets going into it any further? So please call with your FCC call sign.
KI7DUH.
KI7DUH, David, go ahead.
Yes, I kind of jumped the gun. Back up for my radio here. I will be found out that I could use my car jumper box that I keep charged up at all times because you never know when you're going to need that. So just wanted to get my ore back in the water for that as a source of a battery if you don't have it otherwise. KI7DUH.
Hey, David, you're exactly correct. You know, you need to inventory what power sources you have. Do you have generators? Do you have, a battery that's set up? Do you have a battery box specifically designed for that purpose? Do you have, like you said, a jumper box that you could use with something like that as well? And they usually have accessory plugs on them to give you 12-volt, plug in a cigarette lighter type thing. Otherwise, you're going to try to be, fabricating something to hook it up. So having the jumper box is great, but having a way to hook it up is even better. All right, so thank you, David. All right, anybody else got any thoughts or ideas on this line before we move on?
KV0PCH.
Okay, PCH, Jared, I think that was.
I know for me, one of the things I have for whenever my battery backup here dies and can't power the base station anymore, I got the, some radios come, you can purchase a battery case that'll hold just double A's, so dry cells, so that you don't have to worry about recharging the batteries if it's a prolonged outage. KB0PCH.
Jared, very good. So, what kind of other things do you have that are available there? So, basically, where this is going is, do you have a go bag? Not necessarily talking about a radio go box or anything like that. I'm not speaking specifically of that. I'm speaking of right now where I'd like to go is, do you have a go bag, something you could grab and go if you needed to walk out the door shortly and set up and operate? So if you've got a go box, that's fine. And if any of you do, I'd like to hear from you. What do you have in it? What's the capability of it? That sort of thing. But otherwise, do you have a go bag? And what are some of the things that you would need to have in a go bag if you were walking out the door? This is KF7RYX. So please call.
KJ7WHR.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I mean, in the go box, I mean, you essentially need everything you need if you're at the house or in your car, or you need your radio, a way to power it, coax cables to connect it to an antenna, whether it's a mag mount or something you can throw up. Trying to think of anything else right off the top of my head, but essentially you just need everything you have at home. KJ7WHR.
Okay, yeah, I will not disagree with you on that one, but yeah, that's more of radio equipment that you would have to have, and I guess that was in line with kind of what I asked But I'm speaking more of a go bag, not a, a portable radio go kit or something like that. You know, not your go box with your radio and equipment in it. We'll get to that in a little bit. I'm talking about a go bag, the things that you would need to have with you if you had to go deploy somewhere. So if you had to go to a different location and you took your radio with you, your go box or whatever it may be, maybe it's just your HT with a bag full of batteries or something, but what else would you want to have with you to do that? So please call. No one in this group has a go bag, I assume, because of the lack of response here. And that would be a discussion in and of itself. But let's just briefly kind of cover some of the things that you would need. So if you need a, if you need to grab and go, you're going to need to have the things that you're going to require to keep you comfortable and going for a shift, whether that's an 8-hour or a 12-hour, or it could be that you're going to be gone, deployed for a few days. Who knows? So what would be some of the things that you would want to have with you if you're going to a remote location, or maybe that remote location, I'm not speaking of, you know, to the jungles or anything like that, but just away from your home. So you don't have the conveniences that you would have at your home that doesn't have power. So what are things that you would like to take with you to be comfortable? So please call.
KI7DPW.
Yes, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of have a litany, you know, and I always look for food, water, shelter, and fire. You want to make sure you have some kind of capabilities for all of those. And then the other thing that I try to always keep with me, especially in a situation like that, would be a copy of my license, so that if anybody asks, I can show them, yes, I am a licensed amateur AU operator. KI7PPW.
Okay, John, now we're getting more to kind of where I wanted to be, KF7RYX, on this type of thing. So, yeah, if you're going out, it is assumed that where you're going may not be able to feed and house you. So you may need to take all your own requirements for living for the next day or two with you. So, I mean, I know we're getting down the road a bit on where we would be in the cycle of things, but this is one that you would need to inventory before you walk out the door. So, yeah, you'd need to have food. You'd need to have some clothing appropriate for the season that you're in. If it's cold, you're going to want to have extra clothing, and the way we've got it right now, you could be 80 degrees in the daytime, and then at night it could be down into the 40s the way we are. So you would need appropriate clothing for the entire situation, whether you're inside or out. John mentioned food, so yeah, you can't assume that where you're going, they're going to be able to feed you, so you'd need to have some food resources with you on that. You would also need to have pen, paper, you know, any cards, markers, you know, all sorts of things like that. A pad to write on, you know, maybe waterproof stuff, you know, to write on. You would want to have, you know, maybe a stapler, paper clips, you know, having, you know, the things for a little miniature office. Maybe a little first aid kit. I'm not talking about being able to do field surgery or anything, but you never can tell. You get cuts and scrapes and things like that, and you may need to take care of that yourself wherever you are. So if you don't have something put together beforehand, remember, it's dark. You're going to be rousing around out in your garage or closets or whatever, trying to come up with all of these things in the dark. So it would probably be to your advantage to have a go bag that you could know that's there, and maybe all you have to do is grab another bag that has the food in it, and out the door you go with the water and resources you need. And, you know, if you you know, need blankets or a sleeping bag or something like that, you've got all of these resources with you. So that's one of the things that you could, should consider to have available at all times as a ham radio operator. And it's just good practice to have it, you know. Some of us may call it, you know, a 72-hour kit that, you know, you'd have in case you had to bug out. This would probably work for something like that. So there's any number of things that you would put in there, and some of it is individual to you. You might need medications and whatever. So that is something that I think that you should look at and put together if you don't already have one. All right, so now let's transition over to the radio equipment. So if we're doing an inventory of our radio equipment, and I'd like you to specifically direct your responses on this one to the things that you have. So if you've got a big fancy go box with all kinds of stuff and generators and capability and whatever, fine, I'd like to hear about it. If you have just a handheld radio with the battery that it came with, let's talk about that as well. So let's talk about the equipment that you have available with you and what you would be able to do with that. So please call with your thoughts and ideas. KK7, so whoever the KK7 that just called, please call back. Okay, I think we may have had a double. Was there an MTV, KK7, MTV, Tom, was that you?
KK7.
Okay, Tom, you are really, really noisy. I'm not sure what happened, but almost, for me anyway, almost unreadable. So if you can maybe improve your position a little bit or bump your power if you're able to do so, and let's try that one more time before you give your thoughts on that and see how you're getting in.
Let me hold my other hand closer to the window. KK7 MTD, Tom from St. Louis.
Okay, Tom, that was a little bit better, so let's go ahead and get your thoughts on this.
One of the things, oh gosh, if I can remember what I was going to say now. I carry a cigarette lighter charger for my radio, so if I'm in my truck, then I can always charge it that way. Other than that, I'm still new to this, so I don't have much other options right now.
Okay, Tom, appreciate that. So you've got the ability to plug into your vehicle. That is a huge power source that many people forget about, and so that's a great one to have. So as long as you have fuel in the tank and as long as it's running, you've got a mobile generating station. So anything else, Tom, before you close out?
No, that was the only thing that I've been able to accumulate so far, and then I've got a mag mount for my car for a bigger antenna. That's about the only supplies I've accumulated at this point, KK7 and TV.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. So, yeah, as you've upgraded, you've got a mag mount that's going to give you way better range than just the stock antenna on an HT. So, yeah, that's going to give you a lot more capability, and so as long as you're there and, you know, can keep the battery charged up, you're in good shape. All right, anybody else with thoughts and ideas on this with the specifics to maybe the equipment that you have and the capabilities that you would be able to offer? So please call. John, KI7PPW, I think that was you.
Yes, sir. You know, I have a backpack kit that I put together a few years ago. I was involved in soda, as well as radios under sunshade, those kind of things. And so my little backpack kit has a small solar panel that feeds a multi-mode power brick, and then I run the radio off of that power brick. and I have two different, actually I have three different external antennas that I can use with either my HT or the little 818 radio that I have in the kit. KI7PPW.
Hey John, that's excellent. You know, you put together a backpack kit that will allow you to grab it, and you know, you have the resources already in it, and as long as you're keeping your batteries fully charged, and that's one of the things that I find is a weakness that many people have is that they run their radio until the battery runs down, and then they go put it on the charger. You know, my personal opinion is it's better to keep that thing on the charger all the time. So if you have to walk out the door with your handheld radio, it's fully charged when you need it, rather than I hope it's got enough charge in it to get me through whatever I'm doing here. So keep it on the charger. It's not going to hurt it. That's what the batteries have, internal electronics that will regulate the charging on it, so you're not going to hurt it or anything. Okay, so what other things do you have that you would be able to utilize if you had to go out and deploy? So I'd like to hear from somebody else. What do you have? What resources do you have that would enable you to be a resource to somebody else to assist in this emergency? So please call.
KK7GSS.
KK7GSS, David, Dave.
Yeah, I've got a couple of go boxes. Each go box is outfitted with a half AC light that has Arden software flashed on it. The go boxes contain Ethernet cables, an uninterruptible power supply, and all the equipment I would need to set up an Arden node. Also, I've got parabolic dishes that can be set up on portable tripods. So I could set up two Arden nodes. I've also got extra small laptop computers to go with them. I can actually set up a pretty nice broadband communication network for short distances if EMS, law enforcement, or anyone needed that kind of information and that capability. KK7GSS.
Okay, Dave, it sounds like you've got quite a bit of capability there. And for those that aren't familiar with Arden, what he was referring to there is the mesh networks, and there's also the new kit in town is Meshtastic, and a little bit cheaper to operate whatever, and it uses different frequencies, but does create an intranet or, you know, network that you can utilize for sending text messaging, but the Arden allows you to do a lot more with it than you can with the Meshtastic, but that's another discussion on that. So very good, Dave. Appreciate that on the things that you have there that you've put together. So that's thinking down the road ahead of the situation on that. So I don't want to belabor this a lot in here other than we need to know what equipment we have. We need to have it inventoried. We need to know where it is. We need to be able to go get it when we need it and that it's all ready to go, that the batteries are charged up, that we have the ability to recharge if we need to. Like Dave mentioned, he has solar panels, that sort of thing. We also mentioned that, you know, if you've got your vehicle, do you have the capability of plugging in some type of a device into the cigarette lighter or whatever in it to recharge things and run things like that? So those are things you need to look at to enable you to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem on there. Okay, so anybody got any questions or anything on that before we move on?
KI7DUH.
KI7DUH, David. All I got to do is say David for most of them here tonight. So David, go ahead.
Yes, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun again, but I've been thinking here. My situation is such that I need to make sure that I have somebody, if I had to leave the house, that could take care of my severely handicapped wife. But others may have children where they're the only sole person in the house. So having a plan for who can back you up to take care of those in your home who are unable to leave would be a part of that plan that you need when you have to leave, pick up and get out.
Okay,
AI-7, do you wait?
100%, and it may be that you will not be able to deploy, that you would need to stay where you are. Your family comes first with these situations like this. So if you can take care of your family first, then you can do that. But for the purposes of our discussion, we are just assuming that, you know, all of those things have been taken care of or will be taken care of for you. But you mentioned something that I think is very, very key right here, and you said if you've got a plan. So that is going to be the next focus that I'd like to go into, is I'd like to hear from you. How many of you have a family emergency response or family emergency communications plan? If you've got one, I'd like to hear from you. This is KF7RYX.
KK7GSS,
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, so we have a pretty comprehensive communication plan for emergencies. It includes information, street addresses, mailing addresses, phone numbers for family members. My kids have Zoleo satellite communication devices that we can use if cell phone service goes out. I've got a step-by-step communication window set up with important people if there's a grid sit-down situation at a certain time of day, either the day of or the day after the power goes out. There are certain times, certain frequencies, certain modes that we're going to use to communicate. It's all free schedule ahead of time, and I'm working on building that out a little bit more thoroughly, but that's what I'm working towards. KK7GSS.
Okay, excellent. It sounds like you've thought this through very well, and I commend you because you're one of the few that actually has put together a plan. So anybody else have a family plan, communications or response or whatever? If you do, please call. Let's share it with us. I'm going to take that silence there and pause as a negative response on that. I have one, and it seems like Dave has one, KK7GSS Dave. So if the rest of you do not, let me encourage you to work on that, to get one, to put it together. There are multiple resources out there available to do that, and that would be another full discussion of things that could be done on this net to go through that. So if you would like the resources, a guide to put a plan together, if you'd like a copy of mine, I've got it in PDF, and I stripped out all the personal information about all the family members, but it'll give you the basics of what I have done, and I'm willing to share that with you. Just send me an email it's mycallsign@gmail.com, so it's kf7ryx@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send you a copy of my plan and what I did and a couple other pieces of resource material to help you put together your own plan. My feeling is your family plan is one of the most important things you can do on this. Your family needs to know how to contact each other. You need to know if everybody's safe and all those sorts of things. So family plan is critical, I feel, on this. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and move on. This is KF7RYX. And I'm going to go ahead, even though this may jump ahead a little bit, and the seven pieces of information that I asked for, and there's a very good reason that I'm doing this, so I'd like to just call on one or two of you because you already have what I'm looking for. So what I will do is just call you, call your call sign, and have you give me those seven pieces of information. All right. So let's go ahead and just pick somebody out at random here. Mike, N7MJF, if you would, please give me your report.
Of course, I can't find my phone where I had all my notes written down. Gosh darn it. Okay, here we go. Let's see. God darn it, I can't find my phone. Alright, well, this here goes nothing. So y'all learn from my lesson. Don't misplace your phone. This is N7, MCF. My phone. Sorry. Reset. Alright, found my phone. Mike. Haas and Ocotillo. Queen Creek. Handheld. 5 watts. 2 years. N7 MDF.
Okay, very good. Very good, Mike. And for those of you that may be thinking, well, that was scripted, you know, just to have an object lesson. No, it was not. But those things happen. All right, so thank you, Mike. I appreciate you giving me the pieces of information that I asked for. Let me do another one here. Let's go with Jeff, KJ7WHR. Would you please give me your report?
Jeff, Combs and Sneff, Santan Valley, fixed, 25 watts, 3 years, KJ7WHR.
Okay, Jeff, very good. Appreciate that. All right, and let me go back up to John, KI7PPW. I'll let you be the last one here I'm going to pick on tonight.
John, Lindsay at Southern, Mesa, fixed station, 5 watts, 6 years, KI7PPW.
Okay, very good. Once Mike got his information there, he did okay on it. And the others you did fine as well. I would not have any real complaints on that. And there is a very specific reason as to why I gave you the things that I did. And I gave you two of them that were number 5 and 6 that were numbers. And so the way it would usually happen, Net Control will be asking you for specific information, and there's reasons that the Net Control operator may ask you these things. And so he's probably, or she, is going to have a form they are working from. And so when you give them the information, as you, the three of you did, you know, you... I did get, Mike gave me a bunch of information to begin with that I didn't really need, him looking for the phone and then gave me his call sign and whatever. But once he got his list, he did okay. So the way it would go, hopefully, would be if I were doing it, Dennis, Gilbert and McKellips, Mesa, fixed, figures, 05, figures, 12, KF7RYX. Okay, now that would have been the way I would have, if I were the Net Control operator, that it would have been. And so what was the difference in the way I did it and the way the other three ham radio operators did it? Would someone like to give me their thoughts and opinions? Please call. KK7, your audio is low. Was that, I'm not sure who that was, but come back again with whoever that was and give us your thoughts and speak up.
KK7MTZ, Tom.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I noticed that you gave out the thing real quickly and precisely. Also, you when you said the numbers, you actually said that you were going to give out figures, which I've never heard before.
and it just kind of a new way to hear things come out. So I appreciate your training on the KK7MTD.
Okay, very good. Yes, you're right. I did use figures, 05, and then I just said figures, 12. And so rather than saying, well, I'm transmitting at 5 watts, well, he already knew that it was going to be watts, and he already knew I was transmitting because he had asked for that. And then the next one was, I don't have to say I have been licensed for 12 years. Actually, I think it's more than that now. So it, like I said, the net control operator was working from a form, and he's going to have that information in that order, and all he needs is just to fill in the blank on that form. And so I know we're just about out of time here. So what would be the purpose of doing it the way I did it, and what would be the advantage of that over adding in all the additional information that was not technically called for? So if someone has a thought on that, please call.
N7MJF.
N7MJF, go ahead.
Thanks, Dennis. Yeah, so as a net control, I know you're typically going to be filling out like a predetermined form that's got a certain column structure and everything. So you're going to want to be filling out that form in the exact order that form dictates. So you really want the information in the exact flow that you're asking for so that you can fill out the form accordingly and not have any pauses or breaks in between. N7MJF, back to net control.
Okay, Mike, yeah, you're right. And the other thing is we want to be as brief and succinct as we possibly can. There's a term called net saturation. It's when you've got more information that needs to be transmitted and you just don't have enough time to do it in. There's just not enough bandwidth or whatever, and you've saturated the net and you just can't get any more in. And so the quicker you can give something, I'm not saying by saying it real fast, but the information that is transmitted, if it can be done very quickly in a succinct manner, but also very clearly and accurately, as you said, control is going to have a form that they're going by, and you're just filling in the box or making a check or something by it. So that's all they need in it. They don't need you to say, well, my first name is. That's taking up time as opposed to just saying Dennis, because they already knew that was going to be your first name. So, yes, it is to do that. All right, our time is up, and I will just make one last comment on this. The other thing that Net Control is looking for is to see if you can follow directions, because Net Control, and we're going to be getting into this more next week on the discussion, is going to be needing to make assignments for people. They're going to need a lot of people to fill a lot of different roles. And if you are unable to follow instructions, well, that's going to let them know where they want to place you, if they want to place you. And if you can follow instructions and do it exactly the way it needs to be done, and then with this information they've got here about how many years you've been licensed and the equipment that you have and all this other thing, it's going to give them a much better idea of how they can utilize you. All right. I'm going to go ahead, and I've exceeded my time limit here, but we'll turn it back over to John, KI7PPW, as net control. So, John, I'm returning control back to you if you would confirm that you have assumed net control.
This is KI7PPW, and yes, I have assumed net control. Dennis, please close with your call sign.
KF7RYX.